Good morning, Friday, October 1st. Had a great day yesterday, swept the board undefeated, including a plus 410 same-game parlay, which is a nice win. Well, getting right into today, we've got five baseball and one football. Now, I'm going to put the baseball first. I know a lot of people aren't interested in baseball anymore, so you can fast forward towards the end for the football. However, I want to put baseball first because, quite frankly, baseball is a solid play this time of year. It's a situational betting circumstances where you can make good money. Now, nothing's guaranteed. I could talk you into playing baseball and go 0-5, and you never know. But I've got five good picks here, and I'll get right to them. So we're going to go with the Yankees. You can get this approximately minus 125. I got it at minus 120. We're going with Nestor Cortes Jr., the lefty, at home against the Rays, who had to travel. The Yanks looking to just basically cement their number one wild card spot. The Rays have there's nothing in this game that they need to have. There's no position that can be improved or lost by the results of this game. That doesn't mean they're giving up. They want to win, but they have to plan for the postseason. The Yankees want to make sure they have the number one seed so they can play the wild card game at home. They've got a great young pitcher pitching. It is clearly the Yankees on the money line. The next game, you can call this a situational play, the Mets visiting the Braves. The Braves just locked up the division last night. You know they're going to be resting people. You know there's going to be the quote-unquote letdown. Yeah, they're excited, but there's a letdown. There's no more need-to-win scenario. The Mets and the Braves do not have good pitchers going. You'd be tempted to take the over in this game, but because, again, there's going to be less incentive to put your stars in the game, give them a break. It's going to be hard to get those runs. We're not going to touch the total, but we're going to take the Mets as a slight dog. You can get it up as high as plus 111, but the Mets on the money line. The third play is the Philadelphia Phillies visiting the Miami Marlins. You've got similar situation. Situationally, the Phillies just blew their chances by getting swept at Atlanta. They're done. So now this is definitely the letdown, as in the negative kind. What is there left to play for? Nothing. You don't have to rest your guys. You can try to be positive and win out the season. And they've got Ranger Suarez pitching, who's been just chopping wood like you can't believe. This guy is mowing people down. But Miami has Sandy Alcantara, who is their ace. Now, yes, that doesn't necessarily mean much to be the ace of Miami. The guy is good. He can hit triple digits on a regular basis. He's at home. Miami has a winning record at home. Philadelphia losing on the road. Miami's been in this mode, if you want to call it. You can say autopilot. They've been out of the playoffs for a while. They've been playing their young guys for a while. They're in a rhythm. Philadelphia, again, you just lost your playoff chances. They're going to be out of it. It's definitely a play on Miami, a slight favorite. They were dogs to start with, but money's coming on for the same reason I'm discussing. Slight favorite, minus 115. You can get it as low as 110. Shop around if you wish. Miami on the money line. Now, also same game, under 7. This one you want to get on early because it's moving down to 6.5. You've got two pitchers that are just really throwing well. And you've got a Miami lineup that really doesn't hit that well at all this year. As I discussed, there's no added or less incentive to play today, but they just don't hit that well. Philadelphia does not hit well on the road. And again, are they going to rest players? They're going to take just, hey, let's not risk any injury playing tired players. Let's get some young guys out there. Let's see what they've got. But if nothing else, even if players are playing balls to the wall, you've got two great pitchers, it's an underplay to start with. And then the variable is who's playing for Philadelphia. How hard are they playing? It's an under all the way. That's the fourth pick. And the fifth pick is, again, situational as well as technical. Seattle Mariners are dramatically better than the Angels. Now, the funny thing is Seattle still has a negative run differential for the season, but they are hot, hot, hot. Other than the St. Louis Cardinals are the hottest team in baseball. They're on a mission. Somebody's got them playing well. And while they are a heavy favorite, minus 165 over the Angels, they got a solid pitcher going in Marco Gonzalez at home, where they're quite solid against an Angels team, a losing team, home and away. And talk about incentive. Angels are done. There's nothing left to play for. Get the young guys in there. Finish out your contract year, whatever you're doing over there. Meanwhile, Seattle says, hey, we've got our destiny in our own hands. They are tied for the second wild card spot. If they win out, they cannot be out of the second wild card spot. The worst case scenario for them is a one-game playoff to determine the entry into the wild card spot. That would be Boston. They're tied with Boston. If both teams went out, they have to play one game for their rights to play. In this case, it would appear to be the Yankees. Now, the Yankees could get swept. I don't think so. I'm taking Yankees to win today. And Tampa Bay, or the Toronto Blue Jays are not out of the picture. They're one game behind. But again, Seattle says, listen, our fate is in our own hands. If we don't lose any game of the final three against the Angels, we are technically in the playoffs. You're in a pre-wild card playoff, and then you're in the wild card playoff, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, if Boston loses one game, and they're not playing that well right now, they have the easiest schedule going into the last 2 weeks of the season, and they're not playing very well. So you got to give the edge to Seattle to win this game. And play the money line at minus 160 up to minus 175. Shop around again, of course. Actually, there's a line at 157. You could play some on the run line because they're probably going to blow them up. I'd like just to be able to win by one in this game. Risk the extra juice because they're going to win the game. So those are the five baseball plays. Let's move into football. I have one game that has any relative value, and it does have value. It's the Iowa Hawkeyes visiting Maryland. They're both undefeated. They're both the second game for the Big Ten season for both. Iowa destroyed Indiana, actually the opening of their four games, and Maryland snuck by Illinois at Illinois. And I believe it was their second game of the season. Yeah, so Iowa wins over Indiana, and Indiana was highly ranked at the time. They beat Indiana 34-6. That was impressive at the time. Of course, Indiana has not looked so hot since then. Maryland, actually, it was their third game of the season, won at Illinois by a field goal, 20-17. So if you look at the history of the four, Maryland beats West Virginia at home 30-24. They were a 2.5-point underdog, not bad. We don't even need to count Howard, although they did put 62 points on the board, 62 to nothing, but they were a 47-point favorite. That's really a wasted game. This is to tune up. You follow that up at Illinois, winning by 3. And then you beat Kent State at home by 21. Meanwhile, Iowa starts out the season gangbusters, beats Indiana 34-6. You probably hear where I'm going with this. Yeah, I'm leading Iowa, but let's walk through it and see what picks make sense. Then you go to Iowa State and win 27-17. Now, that's a big rivalry game. That's one of those games where either team could be the favorite and the other side could win. It's to the extent of a divisional NFL game, that kind of a scenario, or, well, quite frankly, any Big Ten game, since we're talking Big Ten, the rivalry games, Wisconsin and Iowa, that kind of a situation. Michigan, well, let's not call it Michigan and Ohio State at this point because there hasn't been a competition recently. But in the olden days, you could be up, you know, have a great Michigan team and Ohio State down, and Ohio State can win, and vice versa. So going on the road and winning by 10 at Iowa State is significant. And Iowa State was actually ranked higher at the time. Once again, Iowa State's failures have not, they have not looked as well. It's making Iowa's two wins look less valuable. Then you get to the next game, Kent State. So that's a similar, that's not just similar, it's the same opponent. They win 30-7, 23 points. So 23 points better versus 21 points better. Iowa's a 2-point advantage, both were home. And now you're at Maryland. So you're almost calling this a toss-up to Maryland, a slight favorite, if all you're doing is saying, okay, well, they're almost equal against Kent, but it's at Maryland, so Maryland, but that's, you know, what, 8% of the capping process. If you look at that game more specifically, Kent State for Maryland, they won 37-16. So they give up 16 points to a lesser tier school. They scored 37 on them. Iowa scores 30 on them, gives up only 7. And Iowa follows that game up, beating Colorado State 24-14. And Maryland, that was actually Maryland's last game at 37-16. So when you bring it all together, now I've got this game, just to cut to the chase, I've got this game as Iowa 24, Maryland 20, which is slightly under, and it's Iowa slightly over the line. Now here's the lines. I snagged Iowa last night at -3. They're currently 3.5. Now they were 4 as well. It's bounced around a little bit. I'm having a hard time believing it's going to go back to 3. It might, but I doubt it. It'd be more likely to go to 4, quite frankly. I think money's going to come in hard on Iowa. I do believe that. The money line currently in Iowa, just to win the game, 1 point or 20 points, is -160. That's the best I see out there. There's obviously 170s. And the most common line on the spread is 3.5 now. But you can get that at even money, or I think there's even a +105. Otherwise, I think it's usually -105. Here's the order. I like the three possibilities for Iowa. The best option, the best bet is -3. You can buy it to that point, but it's still out there. I should clarify, it's still out there. I think it's DraftKings and PointsBet have it at -3 for the app users. And I believe you can find it in Vegas at that point as well. You're paying -120. That's still the best bet. -120, -3, that's the best play. I wouldn't pay more than -120. -125, -130, I think is too high. Then you'd move to the next best option, which is Iowa at any price, any point to win at -160. Yeah, you're paying more than I just said. -125, -130 is not that great, but now you can win by 1 or 2 points. Or you can win by 3 instead of pushing, you win. So that's the second best bet, and it's not that far behind -3. And then the least favored of the three options given here is -3.5, because Iowa does tend to play teams pretty close, and I'd prefer the 3. I'd like to push rather than lose. Now, I do think the trend would be that it's more likely that this game is more than 3 than less than 3. Or to put that in a different way, I think it's more likely that Iowa wins by 10 than Iowa losing by 4. So you can move the line 7 points either direction. I think it's more likely that you get that extra touchdown on Iowa side versus Maryland side. I believe that very strongly. So you could take Iowa by 6.5 and still cover in that scenario. I wouldn't do that. I would not play that game. Now, there's some talk that maybe Iowa is not the great team. They're not top five. And you know what? They're probably not top five. But here's how Iowa's style is, and doesn't change. They've had the same coach for over 2 decades. They play the same basic football no matter who they play. If they're playing Penn State like they do next week, if they're playing Ohio State, if they're playing Kent State, they play the exact same way. So the game is not to blow people out. When they blow people out, it's because if their defense has created a significant amount of turnovers, such as Indiana game. But if you look at this, they beat Indiana by 28, Iowa State by 10, Kent by 23, Colorado State by 10. It's as if you could just swap the names and throw the games in there. They're 4-0. It doesn't really matter who they played. Yeah, it's true that the most impressive games were the Iowa State game and the Indiana game, because the defense destroyed Indiana and they shut down what was supposed to be the high-powered running back quarterback duo of Iowa State on the road. And meanwhile, they barely cover the spread against Kent, and they don't cover the spread against Colorado State. But again, the point being, they just, it's a defensive ball control game. Doesn't even really matter that much who they play. Of course, there's better athletes on Ohio State, or in this case, Maryland, than there is in Kent State. We know that because Maryland just beat Kent State. But the thing is, you could have put Maryland in place of Kent State because of the style of play. Iowa could have beat Maryland 30-7. They might beat Maryland 30-7. They've blown Maryland out in their history. Let's see what their head-to-head is in recent. Not that that's the biggest thing. They haven't played since 2018. Iowa won 23-0. 2015, 31-15. 2014, Maryland did win. It's Iowa clearly. It is the play at -3. Take the money line if you can't get -3 at a decent price. I probably wouldn't bet 3.5. But as I said earlier, if I'm forced to make a play, if I'm doing this as for a contest or something, I'm absolutely taking Iowa -3.5. Absolutely, that's my play. I don't think it'd be worth putting your money on. You'd be better off doing the money line, paying the juice, or getting the 3 with -120 or better. I will be back with a broadcast for all of college football and a different broadcast for all of NFL. Good luck with these picks.